Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
It was that same yearning for freedom that nearly 250 years ago gave birth to a special place called America. It was a small cluster of colonies caught between a great ocean and a vast wilderness. It was home to an incredible people with a revolutionary idea that they could rule themselves, that they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world.
Hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America, a joint broadcast put together by Priests for Life and Right Side Broadcasting Network. We're very happy for the opportunity to bring together all of you, patriots, Christians from around the country, some of our friends from around the world. We pray for America. We pray for President Donald Trump, who continues to lead a tremendous movement of renewal, really the greatest a movement in American political history. It's absolutely fascinating, and it has only just begun, as President Trump often says. It has only just begun, and as it continues to grow, it is infused with prayer, and that is part of what this program is all about. Let's put ourselves in the presence of God and ask Him to bless our time together. May I, in fact, sing and invite you to sing with me, friends, a very simple hymn. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King. He is King. He is King. He is risen from the dead, and He is King. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is King. Lord Jesus, we place ourselves in Your presence tonight. You are risen from the dead. You are with us. You abide in us. You are King of kings, Lord of lords, ruler of every nation, judge of the world. And yet none has greater love, tenderness, and compassion than You. In fact, You are love itself, mercy itself. Lord, in Your kingly power and in Your mercy, come to us and comfort us. Let this mercy be as much a consolation as Your protective power over us as individuals, over our families whom we lift up to You, and over our nation whose destiny we entrust to You, just as our founding fathers did, appealing to You, the supreme judge of the world, for the rightness of our intentions, and entrusting all to Your providence. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask You to receive us and our time of prayer. We ask You, O Father, who have sent your Son into our lives, to receive from our hands now and from our hearts all our needs, all our intentions, dismiss any anxiety, sadness, or distraction from our souls, and dismiss also, O God, any unforgiveness, that we may stand and pray with pure hearts, open minds, and attentive spirits. Let this time of prayer strengthen and unite us. We pray in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. Well, as we already said in that prayer, my friends, we want to pray for one another here tonight as well. We want to pray for President Trump, for America, but for one another, for all the particular needs that you bring tonight. Express them in the comments. Let us know so that all of us can pray for each other. What a beautiful thing that is. And we will continue to pray for each other even after these broadcasts. All of us at Priests for Life certainly do pray for all of you each day, and that is a joy for us. So what we do in these programs is some patriotic reflection, education, and prayer, based, of course, on the Word of God. We, the other night, prayed over a passage from Romans 13, and I want to go back to it only because it's also the source of a different reflection that I want to give tonight. Romans 13 tells us that the civil authority for which we are so concerned, in which we participate actively by lobbying, by voting, is established by God. All legitimate authority comes from God. Let's read again what Paul says. He says, "Let every person be subordinate to the higher authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority opposes what God has appointed, and those who oppose it will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear to good conduct, but to evil. Do you wish to have no fear of authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive approval for it. For it is a servant of God for your own good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword without purpose. It is the servant of God to inflict wrath on the evildoer. Therefore, it is necessary to be subject not only because of the wrath, but also because of conscience. This is why also you pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Pay to all their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, toll to whom toll is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due." Romans 13, 1-7. I read that to you again because I want to address a very common slogan that we hear thrown around. You can't legislate morality. And I want to ask you, do you hear anything in this passage here about morality that we just read? And do you hear anything here about legislating or governing in the broader sense of the term? You sure do. You hear a lot about both, woven inextricably in the verses of the Word of God that we just read. This passage makes very clear that morality and governance are deeply intertwined. Morality and governance. It's talking about those who serve in government office as ministers of God, carrying out His judgments of what is good and what is evil. If there was ever a passage that affirmed that legislating and morality go hand in hand, it's Romans 13, 1-7. I mean, look at this. You know, you don't want to have any fear of authority? Do what's good and reject what's evil. That's morality. What's good, what's evil, what you do in reference to good and evil, that's morality. And they're talking about it in reference to those who govern us, saying that they are there to punish the evildoer and to encourage those who do good. Well, what that means is that if there's no morality, there's no governance. You can't encourage the good and punish the evil if there's no distinction between good and evil, and neither can someone who is governing encourage the good and punish the evil unless there's a shared morality by the community. In other words, those in authority cannot look at each individual and govern each citizen differently depending on that citizen's individual view of morality. Can they? That doesn't make any sense at all. And it's completely unworkable. This is why when you read the Founding Fathers and you read sources like David Barton's book, Original Intent, and David has been a friend and a colleague for a long time, you see them talking about the fact that religion and morality, what did George Washington call it? Indispensable supports to our system of government. Indispensable. You can't do without them. You can't have a system of governance without morality. Now let's explore this slogan, however, because there's a reason why slogans like this, "you can't legislate morality," are so popular. And that's because there's some kind of a grain of truth somewhere in there. Oh yeah, it's all covered over and wrapped up with error. But somewhere in there, if there weren't some kind of a grain of truth, these slogans wouldn't survive so well and so long. What is the grain of truth when you hear the words, "you can't legislate morality"? Well, I've made a few notes here, two main points to consider. First of all, is legislating enough to make people moral? Well, Paul is saying here that it has some effect, because if the law punishes wrongdoing, which it does, there are fines, there's jail time, there's the loss of certain privileges, the loss of freedom, the loss of, oh, for example, the right to drive or the right to vote. There's a lot of ways that the state can punish us for doing wrong. And so the fear of that will indeed influence people one way or the other. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we have his niece on our program regularly. She's a part of our team at Priests for Life, Alveda King. Martin said, "you know, the law may not be able to make you love me, but it can stop you from lynching me." Why? Through fear of punishment. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about to the Romans. But is the law sufficient to make a person moral? Well, the fact that the law has to punish people every day makes it clear that the answer to that is no. It puts up a fence, if you will. It does have a teaching function, and it has a certain restraining function on people's behavior. Sure, it does. But it's not sufficient to actually make them moral. For a person to repent, now we're talking about God's grace, for a person to reject what is evil and love what is good, people might do what is good reluctantly or avoid what is evil reluctantly because they don't want to get punished by the law. And by the way, that goes a long way. That's not meaningless. That should not be dismissed or disregarded, because after all, if you or I are the intended victim of somebody's lawless activity, I'm glad that they're afraid to be punished. And I don't object to that at all, no matter what deeper conviction they may or may not have about right and wrong. Thank you for restraining them, right? But it's not sufficient. Of course it's not sufficient. And in that sense, it's true when somebody says, "well, you can't legislate morality," if what they mean is you can't make a person moral simply through the law. But neither does that mean that you ignore the law, or that it's not important to change the law, or that it's not important to make sure that what the law punishes is actually what is evil and not what is good. And what the law encourages is actually what is good, not what is evil. That's where there's, you know, there's a lot of error going on. The law encourages a lot of things that are actually evil in the sight of God, abortion being one of them, and actually punishes a lot of things that are good in the sight of God. I can just digress here for a moment with an example. Do you know that thanks to a law that President Bill Clinton signed back in the early 90s, you could be, let's say that in a certain building, animal experimentation is happening and the dismemberment of babies by abortion is also happening in a different part of the same building. If two people sat in front of the entrance of that building completely peacefully, okay, not doing any harm to anybody, but just sitting and blocking the entrance, and they were both doing exactly the same thing, that is, just sitting there to block the entrance, one person would be punished more severely than the other. If one person were sitting there to stop the animal experimentation, but the other person is sitting there to stop the abortions, there's actually a federal law that targets the one who's sitting there to stop the abortions more severely than the one sitting there to save the animals. That doesn't make any sense. Freedom of access to clinic entrances is the name of the law, by the way. Check it out. It was signed by Bill Clinton in 1994. That doesn't make any sense. So the law, of course, has gone off the track in many, many ways, many, many times, encouraging what is evil and punishing what is good. But nevertheless, it has a function. Okay. Now, the other sense in which is a little grain of truth in the slogan, you can't legislate morality, is to recognize that the law that is passed by human beings, okay, on the federal level, passed by the Congress, signed into law by the president, is not the source of morality. Morality is here. The law is here. In other words, the law has to take its cue, take its shape from morality, but is not indeed the source of morality. This is where, not to get too deep into academic distinctions, but this is where, you know, you can make a distinction between natural law and positive law. Positive, not in the sense of positive or negative, but in the sense that a human being posits it, a human being puts it forward. So there's certain laws that human beings put forward. Members of Congress get together, hey, let's draft a bill. Okay, hey, that's a good idea. I'll co-sponsor it. Let's write it. And they present it, and then they debate it, and they vote on it. And if it passes both the House and the Senate, and the language is reconciled, a single bill goes to the president, he signs it into law. That's called positive law. Human man-made, okay, is another term for it. Then there's natural law. There's natural law that plays itself out in the physical laws of the universe. Gravity, you drop something, it falls down. That's natural law. And there's moral natural law. You don't kill babies, for example. This is not brought about by human law. Morality is not created by human law. Now, some people think that it is. Some people think that there is no source of morality other than the decisions that human beings in the state make. Well, that's a big mistake. To think that is to give the state an absolute power, is to put the state in the place of God. So you can't legislate morality in that sense. However, if by you can't legislate morality, you mean what most people who throw that slogan around mean, namely that the law has nothing to do with morality, and you keep your morality there in the behind the four walls of the church and let civil society deal with the law with no influence from, you know, religion or the commandments or anything like that, well, that's absolutely false. That's absolutely not only crazy, but unworkable. Because again, for what we saw, not only in the letter of Paul to the Romans, but what would be the function of a law in the first place, if not to prohibit certain behavior and encourage other behavior? That's morality right there. You can't separate the law from morality. It doesn't work. But some people truly believe that it is up to them to write the commandments. Some people really believe, oh, well, you know, I can do whatever I want, and as long as I'm not hurting anybody and I'm a law-abiding citizen, yeah, well, you're contradicting yourself right there, because to be a law-abiding citizen means you can't do whatever you want. And what is being prohibited or encouraged by the law that you claim to abide by is, in fact, morality. So let's be wise to these slogans. Obviously, you know, we hear them bantered about all the time. And these are the sort of mindless slogans that people on the left who want to radically transform America will throw back at us, Christian patriots, who know that there's a content to morality and who know that it is essential to our system of government. Essential. The radical left separates law from morality, takes the soul out of the law. I was very involved, as some of you know, in the case of Terri Schiavo, the brain-injured woman here in Florida who back in 2005 was literally killed by dehydration, imposed by a court. A woman dehydrating to death, not permitted to be given a drink of water. Do you know that children were arrested who were trying to bring a cup of water into the hospice where she was dying? Children arrested. These children had more sense than the judge who imposed that decree. It's the law without a soul. Well, this is the radical left. This is how they live and think every day. And there's a blindness here. There's a blindness that we need to talk about when it comes to the relationship between law and morality, because the left has never lost it more than they have lost it now. And when we pray, we come together to pray for America tonight. I want us to pray specifically for this. Lord, shine the light into the moral darkness of those who are bent on destroying America. Shine a light into the moral darkness. That is an intention we have to pray for every day. Let me just illustrate it a little bit more, and then we'll go into a mode of prayer. The left can't and doesn't care about telling the distinction between a legal immigrant and an illegal immigrant. And this is part of the reason for the self-imposed, I will call it self-imposed, chaos at the border, at the southern border. It didn't have to be this way. As President Trump has said many times, Biden just had to leave things alone. We had the most secure southern border that we ever had. Things were going great. All he had to do was leave it alone. But no, he couldn't do that, because he's being pushed and prodded and maneuvered like a puppet by the radical left to destroy this country. And that means destroying the border. Now, these people talk about immigration and they try to dress it up in religious language. God forgive them for doing that. You're taking the name of the Lord in vain, trying to think that religion requires us just to accept everybody that wants to walk across the border. That is false. That is wrong. In fact, it's sinful, because you're not taking account of their good and you're not taking account of the good of the brothers and sisters of yours that are already here, starting with you and your own family. So they throw out the window any distinction between legal and illegal immigrant and the way they should be treated. And if they go ahead and just say, oh, well, you know, welcome everybody no matter what, oh, it makes them sound and feel so moral. But it's actually immoral, because what they're doing is they're throwing out the distinction between a lawbreaker and a law-abiding person. Catholic Catechism says those that coming into a country have to respect and obey the laws of the country they're going into. Secondly, The difference between a peaceful protest and a violent riot. You remember the ridiculous scene of the CNN reporter standing in front of the camera saying, oh yeah, it's a mostly peaceful protest, and meanwhile the city is burning right behind him. These people have lost the ability to distinguish between a peaceful protest, which is part of the very fabric of America, and a violent riot. Once you lose that distinction, it's not just about protests and riots. There's a deeper moral sickness and a deeper moral blindness that has taken hold of you. Now, I was commenting on this one time on a national news program, and there was another fellow on who was, you know, some kind of big academic professor, and he was making some good points. I agreed with most of what he said. But then I made the point that I'm about to make now. Now, you see if you understand it, because this guy for some reason didn't. Just like the radical left can no longer distinguish between a legal and an illegal immigrant, between a violent riot and a peaceful protest, so they cannot distinguish between legitimate health care for women and an act of violence against a baby. Abortion is an act of violence that kills a baby, dismembers the child, crushes the skull, tears the life out of the womb. That's violence. By any definition, by any understanding, by any standard, by any basic morality and human conscience, that is violence. It's the tearing apart of a baby. These people can't see that. They cannot see it anymore. They're so blind. You know, Biden's spokesperson and Nancy Pelosi, they cannot even, Senator Blumenthal, I hope he's watching, they can't even answer the question of whether a baby in the womb is a baby. They won't even answer the question. And so this blindness is affecting us like a poison. And so we go back to the slogan, you can't legislate morality. Oh, yes, you can. And we do it every day. And the fact that there is such blindness, as I'm pointing out in these three examples, which are all interrelated, makes it all the more necessary that we train ourselves, our children, our families, and our culture in the basics of morality, starting with you don't kill babies, and that we translate that into the voting booth and into the lobbying that we do of our elected officials. Let's pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, we need you. We are asking you tonight, shine the light of your grace. Shine the light of your grace into the darkness of those in America who have lost their moral sense. Lord, there are too many such people in our midst. They have lost their compass. It's no longer pointing north. They've lost the understanding our founding fathers had of the indispensable role of morality in the job of legislating. Lord, we first ask that the light of the Holy Spirit shine in the very deep crevices of the minds and hearts and souls of those who can no longer tell the difference between right and wrong. Then, Lord, we ask you to send that Holy Spirit on the minds and hearts of legislators, executives, and judges, those who are serving in all three branches of our government, both at the state and the federal level. Shine in them that when they legislate or when they judge, the light of the natural law, the light of conscience, formed in truth, the light of morality, may in fact be a constant guide for them. Do not let them think, O God, that morality is just for the churches. O God, awaken them that morality is just as much for the courthouse as for the church. Awaken them, O God, that morality is just as much for the legislature as it is for the prayer meeting, and that it is just as much for the lawmaker as it is for the pastor. O God, enlighten your people, enlighten judges and lawmakers, members of Congress, governors, state legislators, and presidents. Enlighten them all. Send the Holy Spirit. And Lord, enlighten us and our fellow citizens. Let us, who already know the crucial importance of morality and its relationship to law, let us know it more deeply, Lord, because there's always more for us, always more to understand, always more to appreciate, always more to proclaim. Bless us, Lord, bless this nation. And now we lift up to you also the needs that we each have, our own individual personal needs, our family needs, decisions that need to be made, finances that need to be settled, health that needs to be restored, relationships that are broken that need to be mended. Lord, all the struggles that each person watching now is dealing with, whether they have mentioned it in the comments or still hold it in the quiet of their minds and hearts, each and every one of us lift up to you those needs and those intentions. Pour down in a torrent of grace the waters of your mercy and love and healing and hope. We sum up all our prayers now by offering the prayer Jesus himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. As an action item, friends, I want to give you a website that, well, with my work in the pro-life movement, we try to use this tool to help people break through that moral blindness, at least in relation to this fundamental issue of the right to life. It's a challenging website. It's called lookatabortion.org. I want to invite you to look at it. You already know that abortion is evil. But look at it so that you will see how powerful a tool it can be when you are talking to somebody else who disagrees with you on the issue and you're trying to shake them up, starting with our legislators, but it might be a friend, a relative, a coworker, might even be a pastor. Some clergy aren't quite awake on this issue. Look at abortion.org. I always say America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion. Well, thank you, friends, for doing that. And thank you for watching. Thank you for spreading to others the awareness of this program. Thank you for being connected with Right Side Broadcasting. RSB Network is the handle on most social media. And for me, Fr. Frank Pavone is the handle, as you see on the screen there. Connect with me on Instagram, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Parler, on Getter, and many, many other places that we can connect on social media. On Facebook, it's Father. Spell it out fully, Father Frank Pavone. And let's stay connected. And let's continue to grow this audience each evening for prayer, for America, and for America's greatest president, the man whose picture there is right behind my shoulder. We pray for him, his family, and we pray in thanksgiving that he knows the connection. He knows the connection between government and morality. And he knows God is absolutely essential for the survival of America. Thank you, friends, for being with me. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. We will talk to you soon.
We have Richard Lee, we have Jim Garlow, and we have Father Frank Pavone, someplace there in the audience. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.